Father God, our eyes are on you. The Bible says that Moses persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And we don't have to see you with the physical eye to know that you are beyond real. We trust you, even when we don't always understand what you're doing. We trust you. There is no one else we can turn to. There is no other place we can go, for it's only in you, Jesus, where the words of eternal life and even the gift of eternal life is available. There is no God like you. There is no God beside you. There surely is no God over you. You are the Most High, and you can do everything but fail. Thank you for making a way, because your Son said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because of Jesus, we're able to go to the Father and find grace and strength and help and compassion and intimacy and love and encouragement. God, now would you help me preach your word, that your people might be edified. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. My Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, and to my pastor, who is visiting today from Chesapeake, Virginia, and his lovely wife, my mother-in-law, I give honor this morning. I love you both. I love you both. I'm standing here today because of God's love, God's grace, but I'm also standing here today because of them. I wouldn't be what I am, where I am, without their investment in my life. And I also want to honor my sister-in-law who's here, and my nephew who are here, Matina and Aaron, coming in all the way from Little Rock, Arkansas. We bless you. Amen. My daughter, Chase, had a presentation in Knoxville. She graduates this May with her master's in art, and she had to defend her master's thesis. And she did that with flying colors on, Friday, babe? And then that afternoon, her work was put on display from that thesis project. And I want to thank Dr. Jewel for being an encouragement to her, Dr. Mona for being an encouragement to my daughter. And so, Chase, I know you're watching. We love you. We're proud of you. And I can't wait for graduation Sunday when we honor our graduates here at Strong Tower from high school, college, grad school. And Lord willing, she'll be here being honored with all of our other graduates. Amen. Well, let me take a few moments and talk on the subject of one benefit of the resurrection. One benefit of the resurrection. You see, last week, churches around the world, Christians around the world, we're celebrating, and rightfully so, because our Lord and our Savior not only died, but he rose again from the grave, and that's something worth shouting about. That's something worth singing about. That's something worth thanking God about. We had dancers last week. We had our worship team going. As Pastor Jules said, it was the Super Bowl Sunday, man. We're giving up to God, not because we have to score the touchdown, but because he scored the touchdown. He won the game for us, making us winners, putting us on the winning side, causing us to be overcomers and victorious. And so churches, Christians everywhere celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. And for a lot of churches, this is their time where the building is full and they've got all kind of people coming. Ugh. And then there's the Sunday after Easter when you're not wearing your Easter suit and your Easter dress. It's the Sunday after, and a question goes forth, and that question is, we celebrated Easter last week. Now what? Now what? What difference does the resurrection make in our lives? Now what? Because for some people, that's their annual visit. They come for that Sunday and they don't understand the now what of the resurrection. And some people will have a so what about the resurrection. It's not real to them. It's just another thing to do. But for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we understand that there are many benefits for those who believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Today, I'm only going to talk about one, but there are many benefits that will answer the question, now what? And even for those who are asking, so what? There are many benefits of Jesus getting up from the dead. Number one, in no particular order, death was defeated. Death was defeated. Not only that, sin was defeated. I know we struggle with sin because we're in this process of sanctification, but sin has been defeated. Not only the penalty of sin that separates us from God, but also the power of sin, that as we rely on Jesus and his Holy Spirit, we can and we should and we do have victory in Jesus Christ. There's also the day when we will be separated from the presence of sin once and for all. And all of that happened because of the resurrection. He got up. And so not only was death defeated and sin defeated, but the devil was defeated as well. Because it was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 that in order to bring man back to God after Adam and Eve had sinned, that there was going to have to be a battle between the seed of the woman, capital S, the immaculate conception of Jesus through the Virgin Mary, that there would be this battle that would be spiritual, where in this battle, the serpent, Satan, would bruise the heel of Jesus. But Jesus, as he would seek to redeem us and bring us back to God, he would suffer in his body while also rendering a death blow to the head of the serpent. And that's what happened with the resurrection and the crucifixion of Jesus. It's been said that Satan has a footprint with a nail print in the foot upside his head because Jesus stepped on his head through the resurrection. And so because of that, thank God, heaven is guaranteed. That's a benefit. Because of the resurrection, forgiveness is guaranteed. That's a benefit. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, our resurrection is guaranteed. That's a benefit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. The book of Ephesians says that Jesus is seated in heavenly places. Dead men don't rise and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God, but Jesus rose and is sitting there at the right hand of God and has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places through Christ. But today I just want to share one of those blessings, one of those benefits that could be argued is the greatest benefit that we have on this side of eternity. So I pray that you stay with me as I talk about the greatest benefit of Jesus' resurrection, and it's found in John chapter 16. If you have John chapter 16, go on over to John chapter 16 with me, and let's see what this benefit is. Let's see what Jesus said to his disciples. More than likely, what is called the upper room discourse, which occurred on Thursday. Some call it Monday, Thursday, because he would be arrested and tried and crucified on Friday. So in the upper room, he's talking to his disciples, preparing them, washing their feet, teaching them, having the Last Supper. All of these things are going on that Thursday. And in the midst of that moment, he says these words. Again, before Friday, when he will be arrested in the garden, he says these words to his disciples. John chapter 16, verse 16. He said, a little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. Stop and pause. If you are a follower of Jesus and you don't understand everything, you're in good company. If you're a follower of Jesus and you don't always get the word when the word comes forth, you're in good company. Because even the people who walked with Jesus saw him, were able to handle him and watch him and listen to him up front, front row seats, they still had questions. What is he talking about? What does he mean? And the thing about being a disciple, we grow when we ask God questions. But when we assume that we know everything, we're not growing. If your theology is fixed to the point like the day you met Jesus and started growing and you feel like you don't have anywhere else to grow because you got it all, oh, you are deceived. Because the things of God are so deep. The things of God are beyond natural human comprehension. We need the Lord to teach us what the Lord is saying. And so they're wondering what's going on. Verse 18, they said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while? We do not know what he is saying. Verse 19, now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. We have a better handle on what happened then because we're on this side of Calvary and the tomb. But again, on Thursday, they don't know what he's saying. Is the Lord talking about playing hide and go seek with the brothers? What's going on here? Well, what he says is that in a little while, you're not going to see me. Why? Because I'm going to be crucified and my body is going to be placed in a tomb. You're not going to see me. Now, when you don't see me, you're going to weep. You're going to lament. You've been walking with me for 3.5 years. And you've seen me almost every day during that time. But there's about to come a time over the span of 3 days where you're not going to see me. And while you're mourning, other people are going to be rejoicing that I'm dead. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Roman Empire, folks are going to be rejoicing over the fact that that teacher, that troublemaker, he's dead and he's gone. But you will see me again. And what he's saying to them is, yeah, you won't see me, but you will see me because I'm going to come out of the grave on the third day. You're going to see me again. Nobody takes my life. I lay it down by my own authority. And because I lay it down by my own authority, I have the authority to take it back up again. You will see me again. Death is not a period for Jesus. It was just a comma leading to the resurrection. So we go back now and he says in verse 21, just to help you brothers out, a woman when she is in labor has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. I can't speak about this experientially, but I do know somebody that's been through this a few times. There's a pain that hits the body, and it multiplies and increases the closer that one gets to delivery. And Jesus is saying, I know that there's pain. I know that you guys are hurting, and it's only going to increase. Yeah, you're going to flee and run and hide, but the pain is still real. But when the baby comes, you forget the pain because put the baby on the chest of the mother, and as she's shaking because she's been pushing and her body's been going through all kinds of things, forgive me if I'm being too graphic on this Sunday morning, but she's able to have joy. And I'm over in the corner trying to recover with oxygen, and Lord, help me. When my son was born, I was doing my best to stay up near Darina's head. I went to all the classes. And I was doing my best. Push, baby. You got this, baby. Push, baby. You got this, baby. This is the first child now. Then they said, Mr. Williamson, we need you to come down here and grab her leg. And I'm like, you talking to me? So I went down and grabbed her leg to help her push. And I saw things that no man should ever see. Changed my life. And if you can watch a woman give birth and not believe that there is a God, something's wrong with you. So when the baby comes, there is joy. And Jesus is saying, when I resurrect, there will be joy. And you'll forget all about the pain that you went through. Verse 22, here's the practical application, everybody. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Verse 23, and in that day, what day? The day of his resurrection. I'll even go a little further to say the day of his resurrection and future ascension, which happens in the book of Acts. In that day of victory, you will ask me nothing. Because for 3 years, y'all asked me for things. But after the resurrection and my ascension, you're not going to ask me anything. Say what? Well, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Verse 24, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. He's giving us a benefit of the resurrection. And if we read over it, we'll miss it. And so we got to put it in reverse and go back. He says, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father. Because while we were hanging out for 3 years, I was doing the talking to the Father. You would ask me certain things, but I'm letting you know now, because of the resurrection, you have access to the Father in a way that no one prior to you had. Let me say it another way. When Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, it is paid in full, your sin debt and mine, the Bible says the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Meaning that the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, allows people who trust in him to have direct access to God the Father. And in the temple, only the high priest could go behind the veil. And that was once a year on the Day of Atonement, having to make offerings for himself before he could even make sin offerings for the people from the blood of animals. But now that day is gone. It's over. Because those kinds of offerings and sacrifices could only cover sin. They could not take away sin. And since the Lamb of God died, sin had been taken away, giving us access, direct access to God the Father. Meaning that we don't need a mediator to go for us. We don't need a priest or a high priest to go to God for us. God has given us a benefit, a privilege, an advantage. We can go to God by ourselves on our own. You don't need to call a prophet. You don't need to call a pastor. You don't need to call a preacher, but you can call on God yourself. And then Jesus says, now, let me let y'all know something. I'm hooking y'all up with a benefit. You can ask the Father anything, but when you ask him, you got to ask him in my because that's the stamp. You ever send an envelope out, mail to somebody, and then put the stamp on there? They sending it back to you. You ever sent a package out and didn't have enough postage? They're sending it back to you. But when you've got the stamp, Jesus' name on your prayers, it gets through and it's not coming back to you. So Jesus is saying, I am giving you guys a benefit that will happen from my resurrection. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And he will give you what you need in his time, in his way, and for his glory. So we got to trust him. We got to wait on him. We got to believe that he hears us. And if we pray according to his will, not only do we know he hears us, we have confidence that he's going to give us what we're asking for. It ain't blab it, grab it, name it, gram it, profess it, confess it. All No. This is confidence here that the Father, Jesus said, now, my Father is going to love you the same way that he loves me. You're no longer orphans. You are sons and daughters. Now you can go boldly. I think it's somewhere in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can come boldly before the presence of God and find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. So the death and the resurrection of Jesus opens up this way for us to have an intimate and powerful relationship with the Lord. And when Jesus is talking about my name, my name, my name, that's not a mantra or a chant. Because we know in the book of Acts, somebody tried to invoke the name of Jesus on some demons and got beat up real bad. So it's not magical. But when you have a relationship with God, when you know him and he knows you, and you speak his name, something happens there. Because name speaks of authority. There's no authority in my name. There's no authority in your name, but there is authority in the name of God. Of Jesus Christ. So there's authority and then there's access. His name gives you access before God because of what he did on our behalf on the cross and at the resurrection. And then his name gives us acceptability, that we are accepted, because you can go some places and have authority and even go back and be with folk, have access, but you're not always accepted in these kind of places, maybe because of the color of your skin or your gender. But with God, you are not only authorized and you have access, you have acceptance from God the Father. There was a time I served as a chaplain for the Gospel Music Association. And they would have me come and do Bible studies, devotions, with the board of the Gospel Music Association. So I would go and do that and share. And then they would have their annual Dove Awards. And because I was the chaplain, they would have me come and open up in prayer and things like that. And so there would be years that they would give me a laminate. And a laminate is the thing you hang around your neck to let people know that you have some level of authority, to let people know that you have access to go backstage if you want to, pray with artists and talk to people, and that you are accepted because you have been given this privilege from the Gospel Music Association. So I would wear the laminate, and on the laminate would be the name GMA. But also on the laminate would be my name, Chaplain Chris Williamson. And then I would go and speak for the Tennessee Titans, and there'll be times that James Mitchell or Reggie Pleasant would give me access. Sometimes they would give me something to put on my chest that I was with them. I was with the Titans organization and I had authorization to go and I could eat the pizza before halftime. The hot dogs they had in the sky boxes were better than the ones they were selling out in the stadium. And I just had free access, authorization, because I was with the right people. I'm trying to go somewhere with this. And I would go out on the road with people. And I would go to with DC Talk. I was like a chaplain on the road with them. I'd get on the bus, Audio Adrenaline, all these groups, and I'd be with them. And then when they got off the bus and fans are looking, I'm walking with them because I have a laminate around my neck. I don't deserve to be there. I can't sing a lick. But the right people said, come on, we want you with us. Here's our name. Put his name on there. I'm going somewhere. Kirk Whalum would have concerts. And I never tried to abuse my friendship with Kirk by asking for a hookup. Watch out for Christians who are always asking for a hookup. Pay it. Pay the ticket price. But sometimes Kirk will offer it to me. He'll say, go to Will Call and get your tickets. I say, all right, Kirk, my dog, I got you, baby. I go to Will Call and I give them my name. And they say, okay, we got Chris Williamson, but that's not what gets me into the venue. What gets me in is the name on the ticket, Kirk Whalum, and then my name is on the envelope to get me in. I'm trying to go somewhere to help somebody know something right now. I got a friend named Fred Hammond, not trying to name drop, but I guess I'm name dropping, and there are times he'll do the same thing. Come on, Chris, hang out with me, man. Give me a laminate. I'm walking all backstage, getting the chicken wings and doing this. I'm just hanging because Fred gave me a laminate. Wow, when you know Jesus. You got the right name. You know the right person. And I'm not talking about going backstage, getting some chicken wings and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about you get to go into the very throne room of God and say, God, I need mercy and help. Help me now, God. I don't have to wait in the line. I don't have to ask somebody else to go for me. I can go myself and say, Lord, have mercy on me. That's access. That's authority. That's acceptance. So one benefit of the resurrection is prayer. I can talk to God. I don't have to hang on the emotion of Resurrection Sunday. But I can depend on the intimacy of my relationship and what Jesus has opened up for me, that I can have a relationship with God, myself, the one who knows what I have need of before I ask. But the question is, why don't more Christians ask? Got this great benefit, this great privilege, but we try to carry it and fix it and do it on our own strength. You see, when I work, that's all I get is my work. But when I pray, God works for me. He works with me. And I just thought today we would apply what Jesus said that he gave us, and that is we can ask the Father in his name, and he will do it for us. So today, we're going to pray. We're going to close this service with prayer. We're going to participate today because Jesus said that his house, his Father's house, is a house of prayer. So we're going to take some time to pray. We're going to pray over two things today: healing and provision. Healing. As pastor, man, I hear some things that affects the body, and it hurts my heart because I can't fix it. I wish I could. I hear about people who need healing in their bodies, their minds, their souls, and their relationships. I hear about people who need provision for housing, transportation. People need provision for this, that, and the other. And I'm like, Lord, it hurts me. But I say, Lord, I go to you. Would you help your people? But here's the thing. It's one thing for me to pray with you, but it's another thing for you to keep praying for yourself. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 12 says, for I know the plans I have for you. He's speaking to Israel as they're in captivity, but we can apply it. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Come and pray to me. This is his house. I'm going to invite you in a moment to come and pray to God. You say, Pastor, I don't have to come up there to pray to him. You're right. Pray where you are. But there's something about moving. There's something about humbling yourself and not worrying about who's in here looking at you, because we ain't looking at you, we're looking at God. While you coming up to pray for either your situation or you're standing in the gap for someone you know, we're doing the same thing. We ain't looking at you. But when you come, what's good about that is that God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. So there need to be some men up here today who can humble themselves before God and say, I need help. I can't fix this situation with my family. I can't fix this situation with my health. God, I need help. you. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but it's the proud he knows from afar. So I'm asking the intercessors to come now, because when you come up, you may want someone to pray with you, pray over you, or you may want to kneel and pray by yourself. However you want to pray, the Spirit of the Lord brings freedom. So this first section, man, we're going to pray for healing. But before we do that, I've asked the worship ministry, Pastor Jewel, to continue to set the atmosphere with a worship song. And as they sing this song, I'll then come back and invite you to come. Matter of fact, you don't even have to wait till I invite you. You can come when you want. There's freedom in the house. Let's talk to God. Let's take advantage of this benefit. God, I'm asking the Father in your name to help me with this, that, or the other. Matter of fact, let's make it easier. Stand to your feet. Pastor, let's go in. The Lord who heals. The Lord who is able. The Lord who blesses doctors and surgeons with ability, knowledge, resources, medicine. And we thank you for them. We thank you for the doctors in this church. But God, there's a time when we need someone more than a doctor. We need something more than medicine. And we get the reports that come and they bring fear. And we do the things we're supposed to do and we go see the people we're supposed to see. But God, we need something more than that. The woman with the issue of blood knew what that was like. She went to the doctor, spent all her money, and she just kept getting worse. Well, there's somebody in here today with something going on in their body, and it keeps getting worse. They're doing what they can with what they have. Some don't even have the best insurance, if they have any insurance at all. But God, we come to you as humbly as we know how, asking for help. Somebody's back is hurting. I know one of my deacons has a sore hip. I know that cancer has come back in a dear brother. I know that there are people hurting in their bodies. Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would touch. As we lay physical hands on one another, would you lay your hand on those who need a touch in their bodies? And not only in bodies, but also in minds. Our minds are unstable, Lord. Our minds are struggling. And we're seeing therapists as we should, and we're taking medication as we should. But God, would you be a mind regulator in the name of Jesus for your people? Lord, we promise when you heal, we won't take the credit for it. We won't say we did it. We won't say it was our prayers. Lord, we're going to say it was you. Thank you, Lord, for keeping a friend of mine's wife alive in Seattle, suffering from a brain aneurysm that ruptured. And I prayed for my friend, but also, Lord, I was doubting. I said, Lord, the statistics say, and my faith was muddled with unbelief, but I kept praying. I said, Lord, help my unbelief. But the statistics say, hallelujah. Then he let me know after resurrection worship in the morning, in that afternoon, he let me know that his wife not only came through the surgery, but she wanted to talk to me on the phone. And I was able to look at her. Oh, God, thank you. With the stuff on her head and blood patches there, but she could smile and talk and tell me what happened. Her memory was there. The next day she got up and walked through the hospital with the nurses and the doctor. And Lord, I just said, Lord, you can do anything. You can do anything. God, would you do it for our people here? You're not the God of yesteryear. You're the God of today. Right now, and you have power. Touch, Lord. Heal, God. Move mightily, God. And now as we begin to ask God for provision, for work, transportation, a raise, you need some money. You need wisdom. You need God to provide a way to open a door. You're asking God, would you provide? Somebody's asking God to provide. I want a child. I want a mate. We're asking God, would you provide for us? Because your name is also the provider. Pastor Jewel.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Come on, sing. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands again. Nothing
he can do
is
it. He can do it. Don't you be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't faint. God's timing is perfect timing. Trust him. He knows what you have need of before you ask. He's a provider.
Nothing is impossible for you.
need you, God. For our children, God. Our grandchildren, God. Our great-grandchildren, God.
You hold my world in your hand. I believe you're my healer.
In Jesus' name. We can talk to you about anything at any time, anywhere, because you're there for us. You're a good Father. Now, would you take a moment of stillness, silence in His presence? Be still and know that He's God. He heard you. He heard you. Yah is powerful. Yah is powerful. Let's see.
You are great. You do miracles.
anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Oh God, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for giving us direct access into your presence through what your son Jesus did for us. Thank you that we can come to you in his name. Lord, I'm asking that there'll be good news today, this week. I'm asking, God, that you'll show your power, that there'll be some open doors this week. I'm asking you, Lord God, to show your resurrection power, that there'll be better reports and that there'll be peace of mind no matter what we're going through. I'm asking, Lord, that you'll heal that broken relationship. I'm asking, oh God, that you'll do what no man can do. We trust you. And we thank you that when we waver, when we struggle, you remain faithful. And Father, we're going to close this time of prayer together. We're just a household of faith, a family of believers who have Jesus in common. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body together. We're just going to close this service the way we close so many, and that is quoting and believing Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine. And it's according to the power that is working within us. To him be all of the glory. To him be all of the praise, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Can you clap your hands like the victory has already been won? Can you give him some praise? Because he heard you, he knows what you need. Can you clap your hands and say, Lord, I know you got it, you got it, you got it. I'm gonna give it to you. It's not mine to keep, it's yours. Trust you, God. Well, God bless you. Hug a few people.